All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 6, please. The book of Acts, chapter 6. I want to show you something tonight from Acts 6 and 7. I trust will be a blessing to you. I want to talk tonight about Stephen. Stephen is here in chapter 6, and then his the message that he preached to the Sanhedrin is in chapter 7. And I want us to just take a few minutes here tonight and look at this this tremendous man. I think one of the greatest men that has ever lived, truth if his story were told. All right, look please at verse 1 of chapter 6. Now they have been getting persecuted from the outside in chapter 5. And you get down towards the end of the chapter, and you will see that that they beat the apostles in verse 40. They beat them. That wasn't very nice, was it? They beat them and told them that they cannot speak in the name of Jesus any longer. And after they beat them, they let them go. But the disciples departed in verse 41, and they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the Lord's name. And so they didn't stop. In verse 42, it says, and daily, and that means every day, all right? It's not once here and once there, and then it just kind of fell away. No, it was daily in the temple and in every house, notice that, every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So they got opposition from the outside. Now look at chapter 6. In chapter 6, it says in verse 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring among the Grecians. Well, go figure. Who would have ever thought that would happen in the church? There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report. Now let's all read the next phrase. What does that say? Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Wow. Wow. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose, notice who's first here, Stephen. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. That's quite a testimony in his favor, don't you think? This is not Stephen writing this. This is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is God telling us his opinion of Stephen. That's amazing, isn't it? All right, so look at verse 7. It says in verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So they were seeing the priest come to the Lord. The scholars and the guys that ran the synagogues, all right, they're coming to Christ. Now we know that Pharisees got saved, all right. Paul was a Pharisee, and we know they got saved. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, all right. Several of the Pharisees got saved, but there's no record in the book of Acts or anywhere else that any of the Sadducees got saved. You say, why is that? Well, the Sadducees were the liberals. They didn't believe in anything spiritually. No God, no resurrection. I mean, that's the main thrust of the gospel, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And they got all upset every time any of these apostles or any of these deacons started preaching the gospel and mentions the resurrection. They were livid. All right. Look at verse 11. It says, verse 9. It says, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Wow, that's pretty cool too, isn't it? But the Lord Jesus said, go and I'll give you what you need to say. I'll give it to you. And that's exactly what happened. All right, look at verse 13. They set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, on Stephen. Now watch this. And saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. That is powerful right there. Every time I read that, it just stirs my heart. So the high priest in chapter 7 said to him, what you got to say for yourself, bud? And so he began to say what was on his heart. And if you'll read this sermon, I hope you'll read it when you get home. This is a Bible sermon if there ever was one. I mean, he starts at the beginning and goes all the way through the Old Testament explaining Jesus and what he came to do. And it's just an amazing message. And so go down, please, if you will, now to verse 54 of the seventh chapter. It says, and when they heard these things, the sermon, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, watch this now, being full of the Holy Ghost. There it is again. You see it? But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. The Shekinah. He saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at a young man's feet whose name was who? Saul. Who became the apostle Paul. And they, verse 59, stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. I want to speak to you tonight about Stephen, and I'm going to emphasize to you that he was a spirit-filled man. That is mentioned several times in these two chapters. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together and then the message. Now, our Father, thank you so much for the beautiful music we've heard this evening. And thank you for the testimonies. And thank you, Father, for our staff. And I pray now you'll bless as we open the Word of God. May we have open ears to hear. And Father, I pray you'll speak to our hearts tonight as we hear the Word of God. So bless now, help me as I speak, and help our folks as they listen. And Father, may you be glorified here this evening by what is said and what is done. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Chapter 6 and verse 5 tells us that Stephen was a man who was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. I wish the Lord could say that about all of us, don't you? That we were full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. This was the key, I think, and the secret to Stephen's life. And this is, I think, also the plan of God for every believer's life. You see, the fullness of the Spirit is not just for the preacher. It's not just for the evangelist. It's not just for the missionary. No, the Bible tells us very clearly that God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That means carpenter flesh. And that means federal government worker flesh. And that means truck driver flesh. And anybody else you want to name. School teacher flesh. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So the filling of the Spirit is not just for the preacher or for the missionary or for the evangelist, but it is for every believer. God wants us all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what's a man like? What is a man like, or we could say a woman like, who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, from these two chapters, let's notice just a couple of things here tonight that I trust will stir your heart and be a blessing to you. First of all, a Spirit-filled Christian is available to do whatever God wants him or her to do. Now, we see that here in Stephen's life. His job was not prominent. It was his job was not out front. The pastor is out front, the assistant pastors are out front, the evangelist is out front, the missionary is out front, and everybody thinks, well, certainly all of those ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, Stephen did not do any of that. Stephen was a servant. He waited tables for the church. I mean, he was working in the church serving tables. It was not a call to a preaching position, but a call to a serving position. I get amazed and sometimes amused at how many of God's people today want a position. Well, a position, there's only so many of those. But there are all kinds of opportunities for people in the church to serve the Lord. You see, God is not going to put you into a position until you work and earn your position. It's just that simple. You don't get saved and then next week you're out here in the forefront. You're not out here preaching somewhere. The only one I know who ever did, I've known two people that did that, and one of them was Bill Pennell down in Atlanta, and the other was John Hamlin. John Hamlin got saved, and a week later, he stood up to preach his first sermon. Now, he'll tell you it wasn't the best he ever did, but nonetheless, position comes by earning it. You got to prove yourself. That's why the scriptures, the Apostle Paul said that we are not to make much about a novice. You got to take a novice and bring that novice along. You don't just take somebody who has recently been saved and put them up front. Dr. House used to tell about a fellow down in Texas that got saved, and this fellow was one of the meanest guys in town, and he got saved. And everybody was just so thrilled that this man got saved. And he came to church, and the preacher of the church, it wasn't Dr. House, it was another church, but that preacher saw him and said, "Brother, come up here and tell us how you got saved." Oh, that was a mistake. I mean, the guy's just been saved a couple of days, and he had the foulest mouth of anybody in town. And he got up and started talking about the devil, and he just snapped. And he called the devil every name, bad name, that he could think of. And of course, all the people in the church were sitting there, their mouths agape. They could not believe what they were hearing. Mothers were covering up their children's ears. Oh, it was brutal. And then the pastor got up after the fella had given his testimony. The pastor got up and said, "Come here, brother." And he was ashamed because he realized what he had done. It was too late. The damage had already been done. But the pastor called him over and put his arm around him and said, "Folks, let me remind you that you at one time were just like this man. Amen. You were newly saved." And he said, "Now, I don't condone calling the devil all those names, but you've got to say that he didn't lie about a single name, did he?" And he said, "Now, you can go to your seat." But that preacher learned a valuable lesson. You don't bring a novice up into the pulpit. They can't handle it. All right? They can't handle it. And so notice here's a spirit-filled man, but he's not a pastor. He's not even an evangelist or a deacon or a missionary. He is a deacon, a servant. You know what the word deacon means? It means servant. Servant. Paul said that I keep my body under, lest at any time I become a castaway. Now that word is the word adokamos. And it means, when you put the I in front of it, it's negative. And it was translated a castaway. But dokamos means a servant. And that's what they were choosing here. They weren't choosing men to pastor the church. No, the church had pastors. It was the apostles. These men were servants. But notice that the servants were to be filled with the Holy Spirit just like the pastors were to be filled, like the apostles were to be filled. And so Stephen is an example of this very thing. He was a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. And notice that. Look again at chapter 6 and verse, and verse 3. Look at the end of verse 3. It says that, seek ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So they had to know already that Stephen was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit of God before they brought his name to be to the apostles to be cleared for taking over as a deacon in the church. All right, so look again at verse 5. It says, and so the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So the point is that Stephen was already filled with the Holy Ghost before he even was given the office of being a deacon, a servant in the church. You see, it's like Pastor Ray said a minute ago, if you're not going to serve the Lord here, then, you know, you're not going to serve the Lord on a foreign mission field, that's for sure. That's for sure. But, you know, when I got saved, my pastor shook his Bible at me and said, this is God's word, son. Now, you read this Bible every day. And I said, yes, sir. I mean, if he'd have told me to go outside and jump between the cars as they were coming down the road, I'd have done it. I mean, I had that much faith in that preacher. Now, I'm glad he didn't do that. But the point is, folks, that I started reading the Bible. And then I got convicted one night when the soul winning pastor got up and gave a testimony about how we could learn how to win folks to Christ. Church started at 6, and if we would come at 5 o'clock, they'd show us how to win people to Christ. So I went. I wanted to know how to do that. I had a bunch of heathen friends that I wanted to see get saved. And so I went, and I learned how to win folks to Christ. And then I started training people on how to win folks to Christ. And then the next thing I know, God's calling me into the ministry. I thought that I wanted to be a missionary. I mean, that was what I wanted to do. The very thought of standing in front of a bunch of people and preaching that just wasn't me. That just wasn't my forte at all, and I knew it. I didn't want to do that, but I agreed, Lord, I'll be a missionary. But then the Lord never opened a door for me to be a missionary. You know what he did? Changed my heart. He changed my heart. And when I graduated from college, I got one of these little slips in my box, and it said, come to the somebody, I don't remember who it was, head of the Bible department or something, School of Religion, the dean. And he called me in and he said, I see here you've made the dean's list the last two semesters. I said, yes, sir. He said, what happened with the 3 years behind that? What happened? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, it's, you know, C, B minus, D plus, C minus. What happened? And I said, well, I got kicked out of school and I kind of had to grow up a little bit. And I said, Dean, I had this philosophy when I came down here. And that philosophy was never to let studies interfere with my education. All right, now tomorrow about noon, some of y'all get that. All right? And so he said, well, you sure have had a turn of heart. And I said, yes, sir. He said, why is that? And I said, because I got booted from school. And when I got booted from school, I had to make up my mind, am I going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what I want to do? And I just decided I want to do what God wants me to do. Amen. And so he said, well, we'd like for you to come back next year as a grad student. And I said, no. He said, what? And I said, no, sir. Why not? I said, I got to get out of here. Nothing personal, but I've had all the schooling I want. I am dying to go out and see if I can preach the gospel. And that's why the Lord started my own church. Nobody would have me at 22 years of age. And I couldn't understand that. I mean, my goodness. But 22, nobody wants a 22-year-old senior pastor. And so I said, Karen, we'll starve to death at this rate. Let's just go start our own. So we did. And now that was all those years ago. But you see, God promotes you as you yield to him. And that's what Stephen was. That happened because Stephen was a spirit-filled person. Folks, I know we read all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, and so-and-so served the Lord, and he was filled with the Spirit. And so-and-so, filled with the Spirit, went here and did this. And over and over and over, one theme runs consistently through the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, and that is those that serve the Lord were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know, I honestly believe that most Christians never even think about that. They never even think about that. And that's something that we ought to consider and consider strongly. Am I full of the Holy Spirit? Now, I don't think that if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that you're going to stand up and speak in Swahili and all that. I don't believe that for a minute. No, sir. But I do think if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to teach your Sunday school class in power that you never knew you had. I think that you're going to teach your classroom with a power that you have never experienced before. Mr. Beard used to talk to me all the time about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I preached a message on it back when I first came. And Mr. Beard came to me and he said, you know, I think that's what's missing in my classroom. And I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. He said, I've been doing this for a long time. And he said, I want God's power on me when I'm teaching my class. I want those kids to get it. I want those kids to understand. And he started, as he said it, he's the one that said it to me. He started praying for the Holy Spirit power in his own life. And folks, I think that's a honorable thing for any believer to do. What do you do for God? What do you do? Are you in the on the deacon board? Hey, listen, you need God's power on the deacon board. Do you teach Sunday school? What do you do for God? What do you do? Well, whatever it is, you need God's hand and power, the filling of the Holy Spirit upon you. You know, here's what we've done. We have let the charismatic movement scare us to death about the matter of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to know that there were Spirit-filled believers 2,000 years before there ever was a charismatic on the planet. They didn't show themselves until about 1890, somewhere in there. And God's been using Spirit-filled believers for a long time, hadn't he? So a Spirit-filled Christian is available to do whatever God wants that Christian to do. Secondly, a Spirit-filled Christian is a channel for the wonder-working power of God. Look at chapter 6 and look down at verse 8 for just a moment. All right, I'm saying that a Spirit-filled Christian is a channel for the wonder-working power of God. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and what? Did great wonders and miracles among the people." You see, folks, they didn't have what you and I have today. They did not have a complete Bible. They had the Old Testament scriptures, but they did not have the New Testament scriptures, especially this early into the church. The Bible had not yet been written. Hey, by the way, Paul hadn't even got saved yet. And the rest of these guys didn't write their books until later on. They were too busy serving. They were too busy doing what God called them to do, preaching and seeing people saved and going from city to city and town to town and house to house. Man, you kind of get the idea. They didn't do anything but serve the Lord. You say, well, how in the world did they eat? God took care of them. It's amazing how God takes care of his own. And when we're filled with the power of God, God will then touch other lives through us. Stephen did here. I mean, he was a channel through which the Lord did mighty and many marvelous things. And if you and I would yield ourselves to the Lord and be filled with God's power, we too would be instruments which God would use to do marvelous and wonderful things. I mean, Jerry just was over at Home Depot this last week and saw a lady coming towards her. She was an employee, reached in her purse and pulled out a gospel tract and said, "Ma'am, can I give this to you?" And the lady said, "Sure." And you want to know who came to church this morning and brought her husband? The lady that she gave the tract to. You see, that's how the Lord works. Folks, listen, we can advertise all we want to advertise. We can put an ad on everything that's out there, every newspaper, every billboard, we could buy them all. But the greatest witness for the Lord and the church, the open door, is you. You are the only Bible that some folks will ever see. And man, we need to learn that. God wants all of us to be channels for him to a lost and dying world. Imagine it, Christian. Your sin-hardened loved one getting saved because you have yielded your heart to the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Just imagine a neighbor of yours who is so callous to the gospel but would get saved because of your yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God filling you and helping you while you witness to your neighbor. I mean, just think about that. What an awesome experience that would be. Don't ever say, Christian, that somebody is never going to get saved. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. I've heard preachers pray, Lord, if it's your will, save so-and-so. That's not scriptural at all. You want to know why? Because the Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. In other words, it's God's will for everybody to be saved. Everybody. All the Lord needs is somebody who is available, who can lead that person to Christ. Number three, real quick, I got to hurry. A spirit-filled Christian reacts gracefully under provocation. That's what we see in Stephen, isn't it? Man, they ganged up on him. They were so cruel and so mean and so ugly. I mean, in verse 11, they went out and hired people to come in and lie about him. Can you imagine that? Paying witnesses to lie. Imagine that. I mean, we've never heard of such a thing, have we? Imagine that. And the men of the synagogue, well, they just viciously attacked Stephen. I mean, they brought in people to lie against him, but the spirit-filled man was not affected. No, sir. No, sir. They failed to rattle him. They failed to discourage his zeal. The spirit-filled man did not retaliate in anger, but was given wisdom from God. And he spoke, and they were amazed at the wisdom with which he spake. Perhaps you've been maligned or you've been slandered. Well, the devil would like nothing more than for you to retaliate and try to get back, for you to get in the flesh and say, well, I don't get mad, I get even. That's carnality to the bone. Christians ought not be like that. Oh, the world's like that, but a child of God should not be like that. The spirit-filled man was a man who, in verse 15, when provoked, had a look on his face like that of an angel. Now, I've always wondered about that. How did any of them know what an angel looked like? Huh? How did any of them know what an angel looked like? Yet when they looked, when all those men, see folks, right down to the end, God's a God of grace. Amen. And they're abusing this man. They are torturing this man. They are so angry, they're ready to stone him right now. And they're looking at him. And the Holy Spirit of God, no doubt, put a look on Stephen's face. To when they looked at Stephen's face, they thought they were looking at an angel. Amen. You say, what is that? That's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's what that is. You can't make yourself look like an angel, and I can't either. But the Lord can do that. Number four, a spirit-filled man is mighty in the scriptures. Folks, when you look here at chapter 7, it is amazing. From verse 2 all the way to verse 53, we hear Stephen's defense, and it's almost all scripture, verbatim scripture. What can we say about Stephen's defense? Well, obviously, he knew a lot of Bible in order to quote it so freely. You see that? Second thing we could say, he believed the whole Bible. I mean, he quotes, you study it out. He quotes the law, the Torah. He quotes the historical books. He quotes the poetry books, Psalms and Proverbs and some of those. He also quotes prophecy from the minor and major prophets. So he covers it all, doesn't he? So I'm saying to you that he believed the whole Bible to be the Word of God. Then number three, he preached the Scriptures. I mean, he had more Scripture in this sermon. If I put all these thoughts and verses into a sermon, you all would be here until at least Thursday. I sat and I read this again this afternoon, and I thought, look at this. Look at all the Bible. He just goes from this to this to this to this, doesn't skip a beat. And it just flowed off his lips. Number four, he preached Jesus from the Scriptures. Look at verse 52. Look at chapter 7, verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one. Who's the just one? Jesus. Yeah, they knew who the just one was. Yeah. So he preached Jesus from the Scriptures. In other words, he took the Old Testament Scriptures and he showed them the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then number five, he fearlessly applied the Scripture to his audience. Look at verse 51. Look at verse 51. Now get your emails ready. All right, get your book face all lined up here. All right, look at verse 51. Stephen says, ye stiff-necked, whoo, man. You say, well, that's mean. I know. These preachers, boy, I tell you, they're awful. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Now, you talk about a slap in the face. That's one right there for a Jew. And all these guys he's preaching to were Jews. He said, ye do, what's the next word? Always. Always. Resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. That is application in the highest of order. Man, he just scalded them, didn't he? Let them have it. What is the Spirit-filled Christian like? Well, he loves, he knows, he preaches, he presents the Word of God. The Word of God. You say you want to be used of God and want the Holy Spirit power in your life? Well, let me tell you one great step to getting there, and that's learning this book. Get in the Bible, read it, study it, learn it, know it, hide it in your heart so that you don't sin against God. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit-filled man or woman is sustained in an hour of adversity. In verses 54 to 60, we see two things. Number one, we see his death. They got mad because of what Stephen preached to them. They snarled at him. They gnashed their teeth. They put their hands like grown-ups, they put their fingers in their ears so they wouldn't have to listen to what he had to say. Boy, that's mature, isn't it? Huh? And then they drug him outside and they threw him against the wall and they buried him in stones. You all have heard me say, and I say this because of what the historians that wrote during that time said about stoning. The Jews stoned people who broke the law. They stoned them. The Romans crucified. All right? Crucifixion is not a Jewish thing. That's a Roman thing. What the Jews would do is they would take the transgressor and they had these pits that were dug out where the wall of the city was, outside the wall. And they would dig these pits out, and there were several of them around the walls of the city. And when you were put to death, they took you out and threw you down in there, head first, hoping that would do the job, hoping you'd break your neck. But if it didn't, then what they would do, they wouldn't pick up little pebbles. They wouldn't get these little tiny gravels. Oh no, they got boulders as heavy as you could lift. They weren't throwing them distance, they were throwing them downward, heaving them upon the person. And they would bury the person in stones. Bury them. That's disgusting, isn't it? And that's what they did to this man. That's exactly what they did. He was stoned to death. But wait a minute. Did he beg for mercy? No. Did he cry out in fear? No. Did he say, wait a minute, everybody, and have a little pity party for himself? No, not at all. No, he rode the storm and he came out the victor. All right, so his death, then secondly, his victory. His victory. How do you explain his ability to be victorious in death? Well, if you look at verse 55, Luke tells us, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, right there is how he did it. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. That's amazing. God just kind of pulled the curtain back and let him look and see where he was going. And when he looked up into the heavens and saw heaven, the rest of the verse says, look at that. Look at that. In verse 55, and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Amen. Now we know that when the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven, that he went back to sit at the right hand of God the Father. Do you remember why? To make intercession for us. So he seated at the right hand. But you'll notice here when Stephen looked up into heaven, he saw the Lord Jesus standing. And as I told you a couple weeks ago, I think the reason is because the Lord was standing up and going, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome home, son. Amen. That's a spirit-filled man. Amen. That's a man filled with the Spirit of God. You see, to the Spirit-filled Christian, the grace of God is sufficient. Why didn't God deliver Stephen? Why didn't God intervene and wipe out that whole mob of people trying to kill him? Why didn't God help Stephen out? Well, he could have. You say, well, then why didn't he? Well, let me ask you this. Why doesn't God deliver us from all of our problems and all of our heartaches and all of our adversities? Well, I'll tell you why he doesn't. I'll tell you why he doesn't. God gave Stephen grace sufficient enough, and when he died, God was glorified in his death in a way that only God can completely understand. And my friend, if you're a Spirit-filled believer, your trouble and your adversity will also be used to glorify the God of heaven, because his grace that was sufficient enough for Stephen will be sufficient enough for us. Your cry in the midst of your adversity will be, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. That's a Spirit-filled believer. And Stephen sure was one. Let's bow for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts tonight from these two chapters. We hurried through them, but I think the point was made. And Father, I pray you'll help us to search our hearts tonight. And just say, I want to be that Spirit-filled believer. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to help me as I live for Jesus, as I teach my class, as I teach my Sunday school class, as I work on my bus route. I just want the Holy Spirit of God to bless and fill me and help me as I serve. And Father, we thank you that you fill the preachers and the evangelists. Father, you also fill the school teacher and the bus driver, and you fill the government worker, and you fill the farmer. Father, your grace is sufficient for all of us. And so help us to just yield ourselves to you tonight, to be filled with the Spirit of God. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.